Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Josh JCL Felto, and this is The Writer's Lens. In today's episode, I'm going to be delving right back into where I left off in my previous episode where I was talking about my path to getting published. So if you missed the last one, I would highly encourage you to go check the first episode out in this new series that I'm doing, where I'm initially kicking off talking about how it was like getting published the first time around and all of the wonderful things I learned in my first round getting into the publication world and all the fun things I had to do therein. So this episode, however, is going to be a little bit of a deviation from what that first one was about, where I was really just kind of talking a bit about self-publishing and traditional publishing and a lot of the differences therein and how I had to, approach that. But in this one, after my second book had a little bit of a lackluster response and I decided I needed to do a little self-reflection, this is where I ultimately did all that self-reflecting and came up with some answers. And I found out that the thing that I was lacking was passion, which may seem like a weird thing to say if you're someone in the creative field, if you're a writer or an illustrator, a painter, singer, songwriter, etc. A lot of times people don't think that about folks in the creative sense that, obviously isn't this something that you're passionate about? Well, that's what this episode's going to be about, and I'll be talking about what passion is and ultimately what passion is not. So first of all, why would someone ask you what you're passionate about in the first place? And the couple reasons that I've come up with is the first one, first and foremost, would be passion is often most associated with life. So something that gives a person life, it makes you want to get up in the morning, you feel inspired to do it. Typically, this is why I think, especially when we were younger, granted, I always say that I'm part of the elder millennial group, being 32 years old, but I just remember many times as a kid, what are you passionate about? What do you want to do with your life? And that whole term just kind of blew over my head a lot. But the reason why we get asked this so much is just for that reason. Passion tends to be something that we associate with being a very life-giving venture. So that's the first thing. Secondly, we associate, and when we think about passion, we think of it as giving us a reward. So despite what we may go through in the beginning of it, which if you look at the Latin word of passio, that means to suffer. So literally, passion is to suffer for something. There's still going to be a reward waiting for you and at the end. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, however you want to look at it. Despite the trials that you're going through, you're going to find some sort of reward waiting for you on the other end. And the third thing that comes along with finding out what you're passionate about is that passion is something that we can give away to other people. So for instance, you might hear people say that they're very passionate about charity work or working with the homeless, or perhaps education is something that they're very passionate about. These are typically ventures that you're giving away to someone, that you're trying to share with other people. And as a writer, I can say, for instance, that yes, there are instances where I just want to write for my own therapy. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. But on the whole, what I'm always trying to accomplish is to tell a good story that other people can enjoy or be entertained by or even be educated with. So passion is something that, again, is associated with life. It's something that we think of as giving us a reward, despite what we might go through. And lastly, it gives life to others. So those are the three big things to key in on in this episode. But before I go any further, let's just take a moment to talk about what passion is not. Now, when I was a kid, again, like I was saying, passion, someone would say, "What are you passionate about?" And it would just kind of, fly right over my head. The thing that I found that passion, first, I was most associated with understanding passion to be, had to do with relationships. So, for instance, those two lovers shared a passionate kiss, or if you're walking down the aisles of romance novels in the bookstore and you see something, I almost guarantee you, if if someone wants to call me out on this, who's listening to this episode, and they go down to a local bookstore, and if you take a picture of a romance section and you don't find a book with the term passion on the cover, at least somewhere, take a picture of it and send it to me. I'll do something fun. I don't know what yet, but I'll think of something. But passion a lot of times gets lumped in with being about romantic endeavors. And if you take into account all the things that I just mentioned, I mean, that could totally, I could see why there'd be relevance there, because a lot of ways we think of a relationship as giving us a reward. So we're in a relationship to get something from somebody else. And as selfish or self-satisfying as that may be, there's a lot of people that get into relationships just for that reason. What am I going to get from you? I may suffer through it, but what am I going to get out of this for me? Which is totally messed up. And usually those relationships don't last very long anyway. But again, it's something that's life-giving, you know, being in a relationship with someone, or thinking that we're giving something to another person. Again, using all those reasons I just talked about, but it's not just wholly about romance, okay? You know, passion is not just wholly about romance, nor is it just a hobby. And the hobby is kind of a tricky one, because I know some people that, and entrepreneurs may have a hobby where they're just, you know, playing with knickknacks and they're working with wiring and doing a new diagram, and then all of a sudden they become, you know, millionaires in Silicon Valley. But hobbies typically are only done for yourself, okay? I do this just to blow off some steam, or I do this as a way to wind down. It's not something that I'm thinking of giving away to everybody else. So if you're on that spectrum of, I'm not really sure if this is a hobby or if I'm really passionate about it, I would put it up against that bar and say, hey, is this something I just do for me, or is this something I could see myself sharing with other people? So just to get that out of the way first, that is not what passion boils down to. And again, passion is suffering for something for the sake of getting a reward later that is oftentimes greater than the suffering that we endure. Otherwise, why would we be doing it? So back to my story of Epiphanies, Theories, and Downright Good Thoughts. The self-reflection I had after my second book, and coming to the realization that I just wasn't passionate enough about Epiphanies, Theories, and Downright Good Thoughts. And in fact, I was wholly just viewing the books as a way to make money on the side. That was pretty much it, which may sound pretty crappy or bad if you're going, yeah, man, I bought that book. Trust me, it didn't go to waste. I probably used the royalty checks to pay for lunch or dinner or something, or maybe I paid for you for a lunch or drink, or who knows. But I found out that this kind of seeking of doing something to make extra cash and wanting to pursue this passion on the side, even if it was misguided at first for me, and this mistake, is actually a desire of a lot of people in my generation. And I've said this many times before, that I'm on the older spectrum of millennials, so I like to call myself an elder millennial. But I was doing some perusing around, you know, the internet, just looking up things about passion, and I came across a really interesting study that was conducted last year, and I just wanted to share this, that I found out of Forbes, where they were working with Career Builder, and they asked them to survey 3,200 of the people that put applications on that website. So careerbuilder.com is what we're talking about. So out of a poll of 3,200 people talking about the millennial generation, so people ages, 21 to about 35 or so, the survey found out that there were people who were working two jobs, and this is again talking about the people who had a second gig, that 80% of those who responded admitted that their current career had fell short of a dream job. And the survey suggested that it was nearly a toss-up when it came to which type of job was considered more fulfilling. So some 39% of workers said they cared more about their day job, whereas some 36% of workers favored their side gigs. This was something I totally related to. I mean, I worked in the healthcare insurance field when I first started writing on the side, and just total transparency, I hated it. You know, I hated working in healthcare insurance. I think my managers and my bosses and my coworkers probably knew that as well, going back on that. I mean, I loved a lot of the people that I worked with. I think that needs to be said. But the job itself to me was very draining. It didn't give me a lot of life. So it really, in a lot of ways, pushed me into discovering things that I was passionate about and things that I wanted to do. So In that way, I was very grateful for it, and it really brought me into this this writing thing that I'm doing now. But looking back on it, it was hard. You know, it was very, very difficult. And to see that, especially in my generation, there is this incredible desire of a dream job, or maybe just admitting that this isn't my dream job. 4/5, you know, 4 out of 5 people were saying this, that, you know, what I do primarily is not really what I would dream of myself doing, but I'm doing it anyway to pay the bills, which at the end of the day is what you should be concerning yourself with. You really should be trying to pay your bills and paying off a loan and student debt. If I'm talking about my generation, pay off that debt. It's something you should be doing. Don't lax off on it. So granted, this study didn't come out back in 2014 while I was doing a lot of self-reflecting. So I can't say that I would have read it and had these self-realizations and realized I was part of that statistic, which would be very demoralizing for me to admit. But hey, it kind of is what it is. But I knew that I had to find what I was passionate about. So I wasn't going to just continue down this path of, I just want to write Epiphany Series and Network of Thoughts. No, I need to write about something that I feel like I can share with other people. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with owning it. I'm okay with maybe perhaps putting in more time to figure out what it is that I truly want to do. So I started writing things down, and I have that list with me right here. So things I wrote were like baseball. Okay, well, I'm passionate about baseball. Society and cultural trends. All right, well, I kind of covered that a little bit in Epiphany's Theories. Inspirational stories, supernatural, science fiction stories. And lastly, I have to throw this one in there, dinosaurs. So dinosaurs as well was something that I was passionate about back in that time of self-reflection. And what am I going to write about that I really am passionate for? So I wasn't going to do dinosaurs, even though as much as I wanted to, maybe in some respects, I wasn't going to do that. And I didn't want to do baseball biographies, and, you know, I didn't want to get back into society, cultural, you know, discussions as much. But I did want to tell stories, and I did want to tell imaginative stories and go down in the rabbit hole, as it were, to find out where my imagination would take me. So I started there, you know, and I started just kind of fleshing out, okay, maybe this is really something that I want to own and I do feel passionate about, and I do want to tell stories. I don't want to just be known as the satire guy or known as the humorous guy. Again, nothing wrong with that. There are many people who have built their platforms on that, but it wasn't something that I felt like I wanted to get behind, which is why this whole period of pulling back from writing just for the sake of trying to make some money was huge for me. And again, before I go much further, just going back to that survey that I was talking about and the dream job, something that I wanted to make mention of, especially in this episode, since I'm talking about it, is that never before really are we living in a generation, in America rather, where the dream job is more important in many ways than getting a steady income. I feel that way. I mean, I feel that there's a lot of folks in my generation who feel this way. They're willing to forgo security to kind of try something totally, out of the box, or something that's not as safe. And it may just be a lot of the circles that I walk within, or that I run into, because I do try to converse a lot of different creatives and people that are in this writing thing. So perhaps that might be a little bit of a vacuum, but overall, I do feel like there really is this sense of people that are my age that are really trying to figure out, hey, what am I actually passionate about? What if I don't want to just sit at a desk all day for 8 hours? Well, you know, what if I don't want to be out pouring concrete or you know, waiting on tables or whatever it may be? And there's nothing demeaning against those jobs whatsoever. This is just about, what is it that gives me life? You know, what is it that inspires others? And I know that in my own life, as far as pursuing dreams initially, it made me feel like a failure. I mean, it made me feel like a failure. Not being able to have this Epiphanies Theories and Network of Thoughts be the first thing that jumped into people's laps and was a big success made me feel like a failure. I mean, that was a big blow. I mean, to my ego, just to my whole writing endeavors and dreams. I mean, how would you feel if you poured a bunch of effort into something? Now, granted, Again, like I said, I enjoy writing, and I put a lot of I still put a lot of time into it. I mean, it was a good 6 months that I used a lot of my time that I may have been socializing with people or going out on dates, who knows, to sacrifice that time to write these books. And it ended up being a lot of frustration and disappointment. And that's a really, really tough thing to deal with. And I just, again, seeing as how many people take side jobs and they're trying to pursue a passion on the side, or they want to do all these different things and they have all these resources. In the 21st century, we have so many resources to do different gigs. I just really felt like, hey, there's so many people trying to do this now. And in many ways, there's a lot of pressure with it. Because you could end up feeling like a failure. You could end up feeling like, man, I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to inspire. I'm never going to be able to find out what really makes me go. And I stumbled upon another podcast that was talking about this, London Real, and the founder of it, Brian Rose, was sharing in one of his own podcasts. He was talking about just, you know, being inspiring to other people. And talking about, you know, what are we passionate about? And he said, and I'll kind of paraphrase this, that a lot of times the fairy tale stories where we hear about people who are very successful, that we hear the most are not actually good for us to hear. And I couldn't agree more with that sentiment, because as he had claimed it, this is the narrative of a lot of Hollywood stories or stories that you hear on the news or you read in a paper, if you still read a paper, for instance. This is something that doesn't really give us a lot of a framework for how do you actually make that dream come true. It's great hearing about the success at the end of the rainbow, but what did it take to actually get there? You know, what was the blueprint for your success? If it's just God-given talent, I mean, thinking of folks like LeBron James, for instance. I mean, I live in Cleveland, so LeBron James is a daily topic you can run into very easily. A kid from Akron, you know, extremely talented from the time he was 15, followed by major news outlets and followed by ESPN and touted as being the next Michael Jordan. And by all accounts, he's fulfilled a lot of that. But what about everything he's been doing behind the scenes? I mean, what are the disappointments he's faced? What are the failures that he's dealt with in his personal life? There's immense pressure, I feel, that is just weighing on a lot of folks, especially in the creative community, to discover this ultimate passion and share it with the world. And that's something that I think is something that you really need to have a lot of, I don't want to say self-reflecting again, but you have to come to grips with that, hey, man, if I'm really going to go after something that I care about, there's going to be some trial and error. There's going to be some really tough times that I'm going to have to get through in order to get to that next step in sharing these things with other people and being impactful. Because again, I know in my own generation, that's one thing that people want to be. They want to be impactful. And I think that speaks for just about any generation. You know, even if we went back 100 years, there would still be people going, man, I really want to make a dent on society. I want to make a dent while I'm here. And I have an opportunity to inspire people and, you know, and help them find out whatever it is that helps them to live better. So I just don't think, again, I mentioned millennials, I mentioned this generation, but I don't want it to feel like, hey, that's just us. You know, that's just us. I don't think that that's true whatsoever. So, but, you know, taking that idea a little bit further,
Jerry Jenkins is an author that has written over 180 books,
one of the authors behind the Left Behind series. And he had a really good quote that I had found a while back that spoke to this concept of being impactful as a creative writer. And he said that a lot of the people that he's run into over his 40 plus years of being in the publication and publishing industry is, he said, a lot of people are really interested in being discovered. They're not really interested in doing the hard work to become better at their craft. And that's something that is really stuck with me. I find that to be a very fascinating sentiment, because again, if you want to be impactful with something, you have to be able to put in the hard work. You have to be able to put in the time that's necessary to hone your craft and become a master at it. And in today's fast-moving environment, it's very hard to do those things. It's much easier to be a jack of all trades. It's much easier to say, well, this month I'm going to be doing this, And this will be my side thing, and I want to do that. Again, there's nothing wrong with trial and error, but as far as learning how to master something and find a niche that we can find ourselves, finding more life in, to me is priority number one. I want to be able to do that. And just echoing Jenkins's words, you have to be able to put in the hard work. You have to be able to say, I'm willing to go through some hard stuff in order to get to that light at the end of the tunnel. So again, that's something that has really just really stuck with me over the years. And again, I wasn't sure what that looked like. I wasn't sure what the blueprint of working really hard could actually entail. I mean, I thought I had worked really hard doing the Epiphanies Theories books. I put in some time doing it. I wrote them and I published them, and I made some mistakes, as I said, along the way, learning the do's and don'ts of having a book published. But as far as really cultivating the things that I cared about and that I wanted to own, that I wanted to get behind, I really had no clue. You know, I had no idea how I was going to go about doing that. And in order for me to press forward, I first had to make a decision. Okay, going back to my short list, you know, the dinosaurs and baseball and things like that, I had to figure out what was it? What was it I was going to get behind and really start to put my nose to the grindstone and put in the hard work. And when I made that decision that I wanted to do science fiction, I knew that this was the thing that I wanted years from now, and along with inspirational fiction, the things that I wanted myself to be known for as a writer, that I was willing to get behind, I was willing to engage people with, that I thought could give some life to people in the way that Josh JCL Felto wanted to be known for. So before I get way ahead of myself on that, I wanted to conclude this episode talking about passion. Hopefully I've beat that into your head as far as what it is and what it isn't, and just ultimately how I've come to that conclusion about, you know, what is it then that, you know, that I'm passionate about, and or what is it that you're passionate about? So hopefully that this has been helpful for you in terms of, you know, figuring that out. So in the next episode, I'm going to be diving into exactly what it was like working really hard at this science fiction novel that I released coming up now and almost 2 years ago, which is hard to believe. The Road to Mars, which was my first full science fiction novel that I had released in late 2015, but didn't announce it really till early 2016. But it's the first full science fiction novel that I went after, and I did. And it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, just through my website, everywhere else. If you wanted to check it out after this podcast, you're more than welcome to do so. But my next episode, I'll be talking about that process and how that was different from what it was like working on my Epiphanies Theories and Downright Good Thoughts books. Very different process, very different experience as well, moving from doing satire and humor and jumping into the fiction and science fiction genre, which has been just awesome and amazing and a great experience. But don't want to give too much away until the next episode, where I'll be, like I said, talking about working really hard and really going after that first book that I put on the shelf. So hope you guys can check it out. I'll be looking forward to catching up with you in a week for episode 3. Until then, this is Josh JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens.